Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn just recently came out, and it's receiving mixed reviews. There's something about live-action adaptions that keep people talking, whether you are a hardcore purist or you are a fan of the original design. So, here at Region Nerd Alert, we're going to talk about it. And welcome. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
All right,
good.
All right.
And how are you doing today, Lakeshore listeners?
I think they said good.
All right, so if you haven't already heard the intro before the news, this is after the news. So that means this is Region Nerd Alert, and this is 7:06 p.m. probably, and you are listening on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
On a Saturday.
This is Saturday. And you know what?
Oh, it's Saturday
night. This is actually going to air when we're going to be at a special place called Northwest Indiana Comic Con.
All day.
So yeah, come.
Old 15 and a half hour shift. It's not 15 hours.
Like, so it actually ends at 6 p.m. So we're actually wrapping up. So if you wanted to visit us, too late. You missed us by an hour.
Yeah. We're probably home and cozy
right now.
Nice and warm. Safe from the snow if it's still snowing.
Unless I post this on Friday and you're listening on the website. In which case, come tomorrow.
Come tomorrow, come get some stickers.
Man, my brain is like in the fourth dimension.
We are in a paradox.
But anyways, I'm Jose, your host, co-host of Region Nerd Alert. Thanks for nerding out. To my left, we have...
Thick boy, three C's, three I's. Follow my photography at Singularity Photography, and that's Thick Boy everywhere. Twitter, Instagram, maybe Facebook. I don't know. Who cares about Facebook anymore now?
Yes. And delete your Facebook. I'm going to say it right now. Anyway,
I don't even have one.
To your left, Mike, we have...
It's Skylar Olotho on most of my medias, SoundCloud, Instagram, Facebook.
There you go. Right, Olotho, and Facebook. He does the music. And to his left, we have Ms.
Heather. I'm Deli Hands with one S on Twitter and Deli Hands with two S's on Instagram.
And then three S's on...
No.
I thought it was 76 on Twitter. Isn't it like 76 S's in your name? I think it was, yeah.
Anyways. Not 76 S's on Twitter.
Close
just
enough.
One S.
Well, also what I was going to say is you can find us anywhere. Spotify, NPR One app, iTunes, Apple Podcast. We are there, and are square, because we are nerds. Come nerd out with us. Nerd alert.
Nerds known to be square.
Known to be square.
They are quite rectangular.
But also like our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Region Nerd Alert.
That's if you didn't already delete it. Yeah. After our advice previously.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
Re-upload.
If you don't have, before you delete it, maybe just delete the app and keep your account and just save that like for us.
Yeah.
But
that's what I do mostly. Delete the app.
So, anyways, we're talking, we're walking, and we're flying because
we're running because
Birds of Prey. And the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. And also, Sonic the Hedgehog just came out.
Jim Carrey.
I want to see it.
I'm excited.
You know what? I love the little... it wasn't a stunt because I feel like, you know, the internet is its own thing and things just happen. But they did a really good job because at first, when Sonic came out, he was a monster.
Oh, yeah. It was a thing of nightmares.
And all
and
all things of the word. Definitions. That's what I'm thinking.
I believe I read somewhere that Sonic looked like a kid in footy pajamas, but also like weirdly disproportioned where he looked stretched. And I was like, yeah, looking at that, like that's pretty accurate that he looked like a stretched footy pajama kid.
Right.
And it freaked me out.
Like a 4-year-old the size of a 9-year-old in footy pajamas. Yeah.
That's the stuff of my nightmare.
And like real adult teeth. Like not like kids' teeth, like adult teeth.
I think that was the single worst thing about the hedgehog design.
If you saw that silhouette in your doorway at night,
that's it.
Like, shutting down. The heart's going off.
The heart's going off.
Signing off.
Windows on the ace. Boop, 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 boop.
Yep, that's it.
But very terrifying. But they changed it. And it looks a lot better. And
way better.
For that.
Oh, yeah, way better.
I'm going to support them with my money and go see it in theaters.
Yes.
Oh, for sure.
I'll see if Paul Polgorzelski wants to join.
Dropping the whole name.
Dropping that whole
gotta
name.
Do it.
Oh, he already did it himself. Paul, so.
Gotta do it every day. Yeah. But anyways, so this topic, we're going to talk about why specifically comic book movies and live adaptions of comic books? Maybe we can throw in like anime and just regular books. Well, not necessarily regular books, because there's something about things that you can picture in your mind.
I feel like that's a whole other episode.
Yeah. Right, right.
Cause it's a can of worms.
Like, though,
because those are pictureless entirely.
Exactly. And the difference between that is like they're pictureless. There's nothing to go off except a director or the writer's imagination.
Description of like the words and all that.
Yeah.
But in the case of the live action adaptions of things that we already see, like we know what Captain America looks like on the page. We know what Sonic looks like in the video game. There's something different for when you stray from that original artist path. You know what I mean? Like an artist already captured the essence and the look. And for you to like change it, I feel can be taboo on one hand, but if you do it right, then you will be praised. So mm-hmm. I feel like there's a lot to cover in this episode. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
I guess just to open the floor right now, let's start with expectations. Expectations can really make or break a movie, in my opinion. Like, you have the purist on one hand and then just your average person who just likes movies. And by purist, I mean like, oh, I read the comic books all the time since like 1980, and now they're remaking my character, and I want to see how my character is going to be on the screen, and I will judge it because I have a good sense of judgment because this is my character. And by my, I mean like I've developed an affinity for him.
Like,
I love him. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
The thing about like, what is it? Like unique movies that come out, like, no one knows who it is so far. Like, I was that called Alita Battle Angel? Was that a comic
that,
or
that
anything?
That was an anime.
That was an anime.
So it was an anime first before that?
Yeah, it was all that before it became a movie.
Okay. It's hard for me to think of an example. But you know what I mean? Like, you see a character like, I don't know, help me out here. What's a original movie character? I guess The Matrix.
Yeah, The Matrix. Yeah. There's a pretty good, like, solid following now.
It's, yeah. And, right, right. And, like, you see it, and you're like, I'm a fan of Neo. But as opposed to when, say, Iron Man first came out, like, I'm a fan of Iron Man before the movie came out. So there's, like, bigger expectations for the movie, whether as you're not going in blind.
Mm-hmm. Well, the issue with that is also some of these things have 85 million years of dumb lore. That's the word for it, like lore.
Yeah, you have a lot more to go off of than like just a regular book, because you know with a book it's just that one printing, whereas a comic book it's how long has Superman been around?
Before, like, I want to say my parents were born.
Yeah, Superman's been around since like
80 years.
Yeah, he's been around 90? Forever.
Yeah.
And he has all of the powers, every single one of them. He has everything. And you have to, as a movie creator, you have to take Superman and then bring him down to our level.
Right.
Because otherwise, so you can relate to him, and the movie isn't just going to be him punching something and then it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
1938, Superman first aired.
So roughly, roughly 700 years then.
Yeah.
Nice, nice.
And when the dinosaurs actually were
running
like around.
Right before the meteor hit, they made Superman.
Almost a century.
So have you guys seen the Superman movie?
Like, yeah.
The old with the, what's his name?
With Henry Cavill? Or the old
Christopher
ones.
Reeves.
Christopher Reeves. Yeah.
No, yeah, not those.
I've seen those. They're real cheesy.
Super cheesy. Like, definitely different sort of comic book movie.
I know Canon made one of them, and that's saying something.
Canon?
Canon films.
Oh.
They're known for, like, real bad films.
Holy moly.
The B-Lords.
Yeah, the B-Lords.
I think I'm going to go out on a limb. That was, like, the first comic book movie, I think.
I mean, there was other stuff too before it. Like DC and Marvel also had like their live adaptations on TV with Wonder Woman and Iron Man and the really weird looking Hulk.
Right.
Like they had the Super Friends. They had
Lou
Batman.
Lou Ferrigno?
I think so.
Yeah, Lou Ferrigno. He was around in the. That was the 70s.
I remember seeing that on TV.
The old 70s stuff. Like, because that, I guess that would kind of be their first run in with the live adaptations.
Were those their first
movies?
Because Superman came out, what'd you say? 38?
In the comics.
In comics. Not a movie.
Well, yeah, the character itself.
The movie actually came out in 1941.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that
So the very
one.
First Superman
that
movie.
That one. Okay, so yeah.
Yeah, so
that probably is the I think first that Superman is. Movie.
And it surprisingly, it was up for an Oscar. Not no, for like weird. Anything top tier, but it was, I think it was for best effects. Because at the time, like a lot of people believed, I was reading, oh man, how is he flying? Can Christopher Reeves fly?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, it's just special effects. And like, that deserved it. Lost, by the way.
Yeah.
Even though a lot people think it was snubbed because it was a comic book, which
we're still dealing today.
And then today we're still arguing about stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But expectations. There's a lot to you can either ruin a movie or make a movie great before the movie even comes out by your own expectations.
Yeah, it's also affected like how big of a fan you are. Like,
yeah.
Like, Heather's a much bigger fan of, like, DC than I am.
Mm-hmm.
So she knows more about the lore and everything like that. I'm going into...
The deep lore.
The deep lore. I'm going into these movies as just, like, a movie fan.
Right,
so.
Right.
And, like, I understand, like, because they have to make these movies for the general audience. They cannot make these movies for, like, the avid, like, I've read every single issue since he's been around to the date. I have all these figures. I have all these things.
Because
like,
you will isolate so many people.
Because you can't.
It has to be super low budget.
Yeah, it has to be like...
Here's a
like,
$90,000 version of Spider-Man for all of you super fanboys.
Yeah. It has to be like an animated feature. And like that's what the animated films are for. Because DC does like do adaptations straight of their movies, of their comic books, to animated features. And those are great. Like there's a lot of them I love. And then like the live action ones are just like very hit and miss because they're trying to appeal to a general audience,
right?
And because it's general, but the same thing runs into Marvel because I have friends who love Marvel, like the comic books wise, and they do not like the movies because they don't like how they rewrote Guardians of the Galaxy. Whereas I love Guardians of the Galaxy, I never read any Guardians of the Galaxy till I watched that movie,
right?
I had no idea who the heck they were.
So a lot of people, or you said your friend didn't really like the movie because
of
he
that.
Had the initial comic book.
And in contrast to them, they love the DC movies, but they don't read DC comics. So I'm running into more and more like, if you don't read the comics, you might enjoy the movies more and vice versa.
My only example of that is Harry Potter. Like I was a huge Harry Potter reader. Like that was the only book I've ever read ever. Like. I didn't even pick up science or math books. I was like, oh, I'll just read this Harry Potter. But
I want magic.
They taught me magic.
I don't want math.
But anyways, I was reading them, and my expectations for the movies when I was like younger when they were coming out, I didn't realize like it sort of ruined like, well, past four in my opinion, like because the books got bigger, so the movies had to condense a lot more. The movies got longer, but not nearly as in contrast
right,
with them. And looking back recently, I had a little mini movie marathon over the span of 2 or 3 weeks watching Harry Potter. And I was like, man, like these are actually pretty good movies. But when they first came out and when the books were like fresh in my head, I was like picking them apart as like a teenager or however old I was. But yeah, like expectations can really make or break a movie. Because like now, like I love the older Harry Potter movies. And before I was like, oh, they didn't add this part. How can you not add this part?
Yeah,
that part's not even in the book, you know? And like, it's like,
was it relevant to the plot? Was it important? Was it really needed? Could they put it in with the budget? Mm-hmm. Could they get like the actors, actresses in like the shooting schedule? Like you have to think of everything that could be in their in their plan and like in that script, because that script's gone through like 30 million different revisions than we've seen it.
Right. And I will say like before like I went to like school for this sort of thing and it ruined movies for me for super forever. I was like a teenager like critiquing these movies like how can these terrible directors and these terrible people like ruin this book? But after realizing like the budgets and like all the troubles that come in filming and making sets, I was like, okay.
Yeah, you're not going to please everybody.
I feel
yeah, it's
them.
No, it's no possible.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a spoiler for Batman versus Superman. I don't mean should I just bring it up?
It's about
I haven't seen it, but it's
about a character that's in there. So
it's
I'm just going to say
long movie.
Okay, so Doomsday's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Doomsday, I love Doomsday because he's just a ridiculous, like, creature character.
I love him because he kills Superman in the comics. I don't know about the movie.
Oh, yeah. And that's not a spoiler, by the way. The comic is literally called The Death of Superman. Yeah.
Right.
Anyways.
like, spoiler.
Yeah. Literally on the front cover. Anyways. how, like, this is some of the little bit I know about DC Comics. Mm-hmm. Doomsday is an experiment. And how Doomsday came to be is they made, I can't remember the exact process, but they made a creature, sent it down to a planet, and it would just die immediately. It was like a super hostile planet, and they would just keep doing that until whatever killed him couldn't do it again.
Mm.
And eventually, Doomsday broke out, got out of the planet, went back to the lab, and just messed everything up. And it was just this huge, crazy, like, story about how Doomsday came to be. In Batman Superman, you can't really have that. So in Batman Superman, he just, it was like kryptonite technology, and now you have Doomsday.
Seriously?
Yeah.
They changed it like that?
It's bad, dude.
Oh, that sounds
terrible.
The other
thing about, too, is that how do you truncate?
That's
like,
without just having a narrator go, Doomsday a long time ago.
Yeah,
that's a galaxy that's far, like, far away.
That's what I was
getting
to. That's
what the Phantom did in the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, like, that was so
cool. Little boy.
Do you want to read, like, they can throw on, like, a wall of text and tell you, like, hey, this is all about Doomsday, that you're about to go see this guy go beat up Superman, so have some fun. Superman. But you have to read this whole 5-paragraph essay with references to other essays and then figure it out from there.
That's what I was getting to. Like, you gotta, like, it sucks that they had to truncate that, but they could have done it in such a better way.
I feel that. And I also understand the flip side to it now.
And in the end of things, I don't really, like, I do get mad at the movies, but also they introduced me to more comics than ever. Like, I wouldn't have read Guardians of the Galaxy if I didn't watch the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
There are good, like, introductions, like, oh, hey, I really like these characters. Let's see them in another setting, or let's see how this writer would write them, or this writer would write them, or, like, this kind of storyline. Like,
right. Like how they're doing with Batman and the Jokers now.
Like, movies are a different timeline. You can't, they're canon in their own way, but they're not, like, going to affect the comics to the point.
It's like looking
where,
at it in its original form.
Yeah.
Like, going, oh, this is originally a book. Let me go back and read that book.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a comic. Let me go back and read it in the original way it was written.
Yeah.
Yeah, like,
it's a, like, good introduction.
That's why I like Marvel movies, because I can't sit down and read comics. Like, I don't know. They don't hold my interest, but I will go down a wiki rabbit hole.
A wiki rabbit hole.
Yeah, like I'll look up, like, oh, okay, let's, oh, we got the Illuminati. Okay, then we got, you know, Doctor Strange and, you know, so-and-so. And then, oh, they, Planet Hulk was involved with the Illuminati. Oh, okay, well, what happened here? Oh, whoa, that happened. And, you know, I'll just go down wiki rabbit holes. And it's just cool seeing, like, Marvel movies, like, kind of explore that.
Mm-hmm.
Like just seeing, like, seeing a good Hulk just made me feel good.
A good Hulk?
Mark Ruffalo.
I love Mark Ruffalo. Hulk.
Yeah. Because, like, the
He's
Hulk
be
is
at
a...
C2E2.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Speaking of, real quick, little put in comment. Region Nerd Alert's going to be at C2E2.
Ooh, 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 ooh. I think everyone here is going, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, come visit us if you listen, if you know.
Once you see us walking around.
If you see us walking around, filming, jump in, say, hey, you're that guy's voice I hear all the time.
But wait, what else are we doing at C2E2?
Oh, there's that too. All right. Well, just a little announcement. Midway between this, we're gonna be at C2E2, but we're also going to be having a live podcast.
Yes.
There as well, and I don't have my notes in front of me, but I believe it's a Chuckload of Comics who is sponsoring that, and also Read Pop. So big shout out to them. And there's another I forgot, but I'm looking it up now. But, big shout-out to them for putting this together. Come sit in the audience. We're going to have a live podcast there. I don't know if I told you guys this, but Tom Rosie, he may also be joining us. He's a busy man at C2E2, being a man of the 501st Legion.
I will also be a busy person as well.
Oh, yeah, Heather will also be. And if you cannot make it, then I understand.
I'm
sorry to put you on the spot. Yeah,
I wish I had a Disney princess cosplay.
Oh, you're just a Disney princess.
A Disney. What's up, Disney?
But yeah, check us all out at C2E2. We're going to be there. We're going to be having a great time. We're going to be bringing you some content. And if you're not going to C2E2, you can't make it, then tune into Facebook if you haven't deleted it already. Mm-hmm.
or, it's true. It's topical.
You know what? Maybe you shouldn't delete your... Wait till after February, then you can delete your Facebook. Check in with us.
Check, yeah.
Yeah, but anyways, yeah, we're probably going to have some Facebook updates. I'm going to try to update the Twitter
maybe
as well.
Maybe do a live thing or...
Yeah, yeah, live thing. I really suck at social media. Like, I am sorry. Like,
I'll try to remind and be like, "Hey, live check in."
Oh yeah, yeah. And then I'll walk around and be completely sober. But yeah, so check us out at Northwest Indiana Comic Con.
It's probably gonna be three dudes with flu masks on.
We're not that famous yet.
Three guys,
but that virus is
me in a cosplay running around. So we'll see how much you'll actually get to see me.
Nice,
because
nice.
I'm gonna be all over the place on Saturday and Sunday.
All right, but yeah, come visit. That was a good tie-in. C2E2. We're going to definitely be mentioning that, too, in case you forget. Mm-hmm. But anyways, to jump back on topic, a good segue for C2E2, or from C2E2. Ooh, God bless you.
I just died a little.
Almighty God bless you. So from C2E2 to Suicide Squad.
I'm feeling that connection.
You know, C2E2. Suicide Squad.
Well, I guess you do see cosplays of Joker and Deadshot and Harley Quinn. So it's a good.
You do see, yeah, it's a lot of Harley Quinn.
There should be a lot of Harley Quinn this year because it's shortly after the Birds of Prey movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh Lord!
Hopefully it's the Birds of Prey. Hopefully it's the Birds of Prey.
I'm excited to Harley see Quinn. That because yeah, being that that's just coming out now, mm-hmm. you know, like. That's getting some mixed reviews already. A lot of people are off the bat calling it like terrible, I see. But in my opinion, that they did it like day one. And I'm like, okay, all these people did not already see the movie. I think they're just bandwagon bashing. Bandwagon bashing, if you didn't know, is a term coined by Jose.
That's a hosism.
But anyways, yeah, I feel like a lot of people just want to like bash it because A, it's a DC movie, and DC doesn't have a huge history of successful movies.
Right.
There are successful movies, but
kind of in a negative light.
Right. Wonder Woman.
They try to copy Marvel. They try to do what Marvel does, and very unsuccessfully.
Right. And I feel like...
I don't know if they're trying to copy Marvel. They're trying to do something.
I think they're trying to copy Christopher Nolan's universe. And I feel like
yeah.
in a lot of senses... Senses.
That's what I think they're trying to do.
I think
in a lot of ways
because DC, like, mind you, like DC, am I right in saying like they're darker undertones to it?
Unfortunately, yes. Ever since a certain crisis came around, it made them darker. But yeah, it's. I feel like they're trying to copy Marvel, like you said, Mike. That they're trying to capture that, like Marvel madness,
the universe.
Thing. Yeah,
like they're trying to make the universal thing,
and they're trying to recapture like the good that was the Nolanverse. They're trying to capture that like thing again, and they're trying to capture both of them and then mash them together, like puzzle pieces.
Somebody
that
made
don't
something
fit.
Great for DC.
Yeah,
right.
Take it, roll with it.
But
turn.
Don't let it die. Don't let it die.
Like they do have good. Like they do have good stories. Like Wonder Woman was really good. Shazam was a blast. Like I had a lot of fun watching Shazam.
Mm-hmm.
Like I saw it with my friend. We were laughing, having fun the whole time. Like it's a great film. And I guess Birds of Prey is good, but I actually am not a fan of it. And I haven't seen it. And I actually was calling it a bad movie like back in like day zero.
Oh, pre-hate.
But that's because
I did not mean
have
to lump you in with bandwagon bangers.
No, it's okay.
Bandwagon bashers.
I have a love hate for Harley Quinn because I like Harley Quinn, but I don't like how DC's trying to make her into their Deadpool.
I agree with that for one,
which is again the Marvel captureness.
And for two, I love Harley Quinn. Like she's one of my favorite characters. And from what I think of Harley Quinn, I think of back to like what was that Batman Begins or the Batman cartoon
Batman animated series.
Yeah, that's when I fell in love with like the New Jersey. Like
she was actually created in that TV series.
Mm-hmm. Was she?
Yes.
Yeah, that was her introduction.
Well, there you go. I didn't know that.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. But anyways, yeah, that's where that's how I know Harley Quinn. Oh God, am I a purist?
Oh, God. Oh no! It is a thing. I've heard like my friend who doesn't read DC Comics, like she and I said, hey, let me know how it is because she doesn't watch it, like she doesn't read them. And mm-hmm. she came back and said like she really enjoyed it. So if I go in like not expecting like a comic book thing to a T, then I'll be fine.
And the thing is too. The DC, what do you call it, the streaming service, they have also have a Harley Quinn thing out as well.
The cartoon.
And that looks really cool. And I don't know how close it is to the Margot Robbie?
Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
The Margot Robbie to it, because it looks like they're similarly dressed.
I haven't watched it. I can't tell you.
Oh, I haven't watched it. but yeah, I have not seen Suicide Squad, so yeah. I have literally zero knowledge of Margot Robbie.
Why don't you explain? Because you remember it way more than
I was like, Mike, you're also a fan of Harley Quinn.
Don't go into a four-hour rant.
I'm just going to go with the Harley Quinn.
Yeah, the Harley Quinn.
I'm just going to just stick with Harley Quinn. Okay, so I haven't seen Birds of Prey yet, so you know, there's that. I'm going to put that out there.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they portrayed Harley Quinn in Suicide Squad, mm-hmm. she was literally a sex symbol. Like,
yeah,
she was there to be hot.
Really?
Yeah, she was there to be hot. There's a scene where literally it's everybody's getting ready, and the camera pans up from her like knees up, and she's wearing like these ridiculous blue and red booty shorts with fishnets, mm-hmm. and she's putting her shirt on. She's just standing there in her bra, putting a shirt on, and she turns around, and everybody's looking at her. What? And then everybody just keeps doing what they're doing. She's literally there just to be hot. They throw in one scene
where she's cool.
Yeah, where she's in an elevator, and these, like, what were those things they were fighting? They were just, like, mud creatures or something.
Yeah,
like,
there was some kind of, like, creature demon things. I can't remember how they were exactly, but
I'm just going to call them mud people.
Mud people.
Mud creatures.
Like the rope people from The Phantom?
Yeah.
The rope people! I'm mad at that movie, but we're coming to that
scene. Yeah, we'll get there. Man. So, they had one scene of Harley Quinn.
Remember that scene?
Where she was in an elevator because she decided to split off from everybody and take the elevator because they didn't want to take the stairs or whatever. And the mud creatures, like three or four of them, got into the elevator and they started fighting in this elevator. And it was a cool action scene. Like, she like did a great job with the choreography, but then went right back to being a sex symbol. That was it. I can't confirm this, but I swear they threw that scene in because they're like, oh, she's literally
all
just,
she does is walk around.
Yeah, all
and
she
look
does
good.
Is walk around, be hot, and hit things with a bat. Mm. Like, she needs to be more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping, I haven't seen it, but I really hope Birds of Prey actually explores her a little more as a character because mm-hmm. she's actually a really deep character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she is a really deep character, especially when she gets away from the Joker. She becomes just a whole new person,
mm-hmm.
and I want to see more of that.
I was going to say...
I want to see more of that.
I was like, I love the... Well, at the time, it was called the New 52 of the Harley Quinn's comics. And I actually bought quite a lot of them before
I heard that one was pretty good.
Ran out of money. But I loved her interaction with, like, Poison Ivy and Catwoman and, like, all the other, like,
the
bad...
The Gotham City Sirens.
I love that. Mm. Like, I want to see more of, like the symbol, you know?
There's there's a big fandom of, like, Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn like getting together.
They get together in the comics
confirmed.
Too.
Oh, has it been confirmed?
Yeah, they get together in the comics.
Oh, there you go. It tells you I don't read the comics.
It's yes.
And
they are an item and a pair.
And I am 1, 2, 3 for it.
I think they are on again, off again though, because you know how relationships never work out in comics.
Yeah, when you're a supervillain, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
but yeah, that's one of many issues I have with Suicide Squad. How they treated Harley Quinn as a character when she's like supposed to be like one of the main people in it. You have Deadshot and Harley Quinn. Obviously, Will Smith is going to get his dues.
He's
but,
sexy.
Yeah, he's going to get his dues. But Harley Quinn being like not second, but you know, next to Deadshot.
Mm.
Like,
I'm gonna be completely honest. I think Captain Boomerang had more of a role in that movie than
the fact that they chose Captain Boomerang.
Captain Boomerang is part of the Suicide Squad in the comics. Okay, he is actually.
Is there no other characters to choose from?
No, he is part of the Suicide Squad. Yeah. He is like.
Is that Shark Man in there, or what's his name?
The Killer Croc.
Killer Croc. Killer Croc and King Shark.
Don't. And do not get me started on Slipknot. Do not get me started on Slipknot because I will explode.
I push my fingers into my...
Not that Slipknot.
No.
I thought they did the music.
No, there's a character called Slipknot.
Oh, is that the grapple guy that's supposed to be able to climb anything?
Yeah, we're not going to get into that.
Is that his power?
Yes. Yeah.
That's his power.
No, that's why I'm saying we're not getting into
that. We're not getting to Slipknot. Like,
what a power. That's like my power to be able to eat anything at any temperature. Listen,
and throw things and catch them behind your back without looking.
Oh, that's my real power.
Yeah, that's his true power. But like I said, we're not getting into that right now.
No, we can't.
I can't. I cannot.
Gosh, you're getting me excited.
I'll explain it for him.
Yeah, well, we can explain it if it doesn't pertain.
Suicide Squad, I think, was their attempt to get the Guardians of the Galaxy movie magic. Oh, here's this thing that not a general audience knows about. The general audience knows Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman. They know The Flash now because of the CW. They know
Marvel creates a group of heroes. DC creates a group of villains.
Actually, that's a really good comparison because I've never heard of Guardians of the Galaxy before it came out.
Yeah.
I consider myself to be a fan of Thor and Iron Man and Captain America, but never heard of Guardians of the Galaxy. And when they came out, which brings me to my next point as well. Mm-hmm. But the band of people you never heard of, and it was a great movie. Mm-hmm. That was good. Suicide Squad, I guess, not so much. But that also brings me to another thing, cast choices.
Oh, yes.
I feel other than expectations, another huge thing that can make or break a live adaptation of something is the choice of cast. Is it, to quote my cousin Rich on here, he went on a pretty good little rant on Facebook, which you can follow me at Region Nerd Alert. And basically he says actors or actresses may have gotten a role simply because they are a household name to sell tickets. And I feel we can think of many instances where that can happen, Ghost in the Shell. So many people were aggravated at why is
Scarlett Johansson
didn't really fit that role at all. I don't know why she got picked.
Right. But there's so many instances of just that, oh, name bait, that'll bring us a lot of money.
It happens actually a lot in animation. In general, it happens a lot of animation. They use the big titles of large names.
Bob Thornton voices.
The name bait. People into seeing it.
Miyazaki movies definitely too. Christian Bale in Howl's Moving Castle.
They'll always have a big name on the front of some celeb that's voicing one of the
I was gonna say there's a video game version of this. Mm-hmm. And Heather will be familiar with this.
Oh no.
Destiny. Peter Dinklage was the original voice of the ghost.
Man.
The little robot that follows you around?
He came from the moon.
Yeah, Peter Dinklage was the original voice of that ghost.
What?
Yes.
Really? He was the original voice of that ghost. And I don't know what they were trying to do. I don't know if they started him to be robotic or so that he was just flat tone. But his voice was a meme.
Well, to defend Peter Dinklage, he's a on-screen personality.
Yes.
It's a different world from being an on-screen personality to being a voice actor.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
So they put him in not his element and gave him lines, and I feel like they really didn't give him direction.
Right.
Because how do you make the wizard, it came from the moon, sound cool? How do you make that sound cool?
Right. I mean, there's a lot of video game. There's a lot of great video game voice acting. Mm-hmm.
That's a whole other podcast.
Right. Like The Last of Us. Oh my God. That was also in hand of great animation as well. But take Christian Bale and the Miyazaki movies. I love the movie and I love the storytelling, but I didn't think he did a good job.
I'm gonna be really honest. I didn't know
Christian Bale in it.
Christian Bale, he's the Batman, right?
Yeah.
Howl's Moving Castle. He was Howl.
He's Howl. Oh. And to be honest, I didn't know that was Christian Bale. So actually, he did a pretty good job to my standards because I didn't know that was him.
Yeah, when you find out, it's different. But the dubs in general of Miyazaki movies have to take with a grain of salt, in my opinion. Well, only don't get me wrong, they're great. I feel like everything else is so encapsulating that it's brings it down a little bit. But anyway, that's a completely different
topic.
That's
an anime dub versus sub podcast.
Yeah. And I will defend dubs to the day I die. But that's just an example of, money-grabbing cast choices.
Yeah. Then you got like people who are made for the role, like, you know, Ryan Reynolds.
Oh yeah.
For Deadpool.
Yeah.
That's literally him. That's just they literally just put him in a suit and said, okay, do your thing.
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, like, Hugh Jackman.
Oh, right. I can
I actually
Robert Downey Jr.
do think Margaret Robbie is actually a good Harley Quinn. Like, she fits that role. I just think she has bad writing.
Yeah, like
for Suicide Squad.
That can also be a huge factor.
Maybe because she had more of a producer role for this Birds of Prey, that it's better.
Who's the girl from the cast? The goth girl?
The cast.
The cast. The freaking craft. Who's the girl from the cast?
Oh, I don't know her name, but
I'm looking it up.
I always thought, like, man, if they ever make Harley Quinn, she would be perfect for it.
I actually seen somebody post something like that, like she was made to be Harley Quinn.
Right, right. Like, I would love, like, ever since, like, I found out Harley Quinn and I seen the craft, that was her. Like,
Feruza Balk.
Ah.
That's a great name.
Fantastic.
Oh, wait, no. Perfectly. I'm an idiot. Nancy Downs.
Gal.
Oh, wait, I think that's her character.
Oh, no, it is Feruza Balk.
Yeah. She's
yeah, Wonder Woman.
The other
Wonder
one did
like,
sound
she
like a witch.
Is Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I think Christian Bale, he wasn't the perfect Batman, but he was Bruce Wayne. Like, he had Bruce Wayne down.
To a T, yeah.
But he didn't have, like, Batman down perfectly.
Wait,
like,
Christian Bale?
Yeah, like, he had Bruce Wayne, like, the playboy, flamboyant man, but he didn't have Batman. I haven't watched the movies in, like, a dozen years, but in Mike's memory, that's what I thought. Like, he had Bruce Wayne.
I feel like his Batman was, like, he was almost... Like, the human part was, like, non-existent to that. Because
he's the Bat.
Part voice and part, like, his costume design in general. He was just, like, straight, like, darkness.
I will defend that by saying that was a theme of the movie.
Yeah, that is the theme.
Because in the third one, he... No, not in the third one. Like,
oh no,
the second one going towards the third one. Like, he was seriously departing, just being Batman. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so much stuff in there saying.
Oh no,
like,
yeah, like that's not a critique at all. Like, that it was a fantastic Batman in my opinion. Like, everything, but I just don't think like Christian Bale.
I love Bale's Batman.
Like,
yeah,
I'm not saying I don't love him. I'm just saying that he fits Bruce Wayne.
Because he's got that.
I feel like Clooney fit Wayne better, the best.
Is that the one with the
George
the,
Clooney was the when I think of Bruce Wayne philanthropist, George Clooney's like the face.
Michael Keaton, okay. Very much no. Like, I did not see him as Bruce Wayne.
No.
In my opinion. I think DC Batman.
I loved his Batman so
I loved
much,
his
though.
Batman, like the witty, you know, like, but I Bruce Wayne not. Not so much. Val Kilmer, throw it out the window. I love the movie. I love Val Kilmer. I love
Get those bat nipples out of here.
Yeah.
Bat
the bat nipples.
Chris Evans.
That's what Christian Bale
Robert Downey Jr. I mean.
Robert Downey Jr. is just Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Like at this point.
But, yeah. Oh, and it's talk about Chris Evans, like, stepping
Chris
up.
Hemsworth.
Like.
Those three, I can't imagine.
Oh, yeah. Anyone other than.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I think Endgame, that moment, you know what I'm talking, like, when those three, like.
Oh, yeah. Chris Evans, man.
Yeah. Going from scary, what was it, Not Another Teen Movie from putting shaving cream on his, And going from that and then to the what wasn't he, the fireman?
Fireman?
He
like, looks like Mr. Mrs. Firestorm.
Not Firestorm. That's
from Fantastic Four.
Fire
guy? Blaze?
Was he? No.
Flame on?
Yes,
Flamer?
He was. Johnny Storm.
Yeah, Johnny Storm.
He was Johnny Storm in the original.
Say Johnny Blaze?
I was going to say Johnny Blaze, but that's Ghost Rider.
That's Ghost Rider, yeah.
Also
Nicolas
a bad movie.
Cage.
Man. God, we watched that movie recently, and...
it's getting there.
It's
Nicolas Cage and Phantom, Billy Zane.
Ghost Rider could be good. It could be good.
It could be.
And yet, Nicolas Cage...
Yeah, Nicolas Cage is good when he's, like, manic. Like, when he's crazy,
he's going to steal that declaration.
Oh, I don't know, man. His transformation
Okay, so before we get into, like, delve in the last part of this, like, the bad movies, I want to get one more aspect of, like, what exactly makes, like, live adaptions good / bad. And that is, well, it's not really an aspect. We covered it. But what do you guys think of the title changes? Have you guys heard about that?
Oh, the Birds of Prey one?
Right, yeah, yeah. They changed the title of the movie after it came out.
Well, so, they changed it, too, because it was the Emancipation.
It was the Emancipation
Quinn,
of Proclamation before, but then they changed it to
Harley
Quinn, Birds of Prey.
I think they...
Wasn't it...
I do faintly remember seeing that super long intro name for the Harley Quinn movie.
Yeah, that was the name up until, like, I think a couple days ago.
I was going to say, because people keep saying, oh, Birds of Prey, and I'm like, what is that?
When Paul told me, like, oh, you should see that, because there's this part that reminds me of you, Paul Pogorzelski, and I was like, what is Birds of Prey? And he's like, oh, yeah, let me show you. Oh, the Harley Quinn movie? Like, I had no idea it was called Birds of Prey.
Isn't that a Doja Cat song? Recently, what? Too.
Birds of Prey?
Oh, anyways.
Maybe. Is she in that movie?
I'm going to look it up.
I totally forgot. No. It's gone out the window. It got deleted by, like, Sims when you get deleted. Oh. Your action, like, it's just, boop, it's just gone.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
But
my thing on it is I dislike the name change.
I also dislike
it. Because it's, one, it's a Harley Quinn movie, but there's also other people with her. It's kind of just doing a disservice. Mm-hmm. To the other people, mm-hmm. just saying Harley Quinn's Birds of Prey versus Harley Quinn or Birds of Prey and the Emancipation of One Harley Quinn, like where one is okay, this story is her and just her versus it's Birds of Prey.
It's a collective.
It's Birds of Prey with an emphasis on Harley Quinn's story. Mm-hmm. Like I dislike it. Plus, it was a cool name.
I love the name. I like that direction that they were going in. Like,
I mean, movie name is not. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, right. And nobody's gonna sit there and say Birds of Prey and the Emancipation of One Harley Quinn every time. They're gonna go Birds of Prey movie.
Yeah, they're still gonna say Birds of Prey. Yeah.
That gets people talking too. Like, I can see their original thought for that. Like, oh, like people are gonna just mention Birds of Prey and it be synonymous with Harley Quinn. And I thought that was a pretty good idea.
Yeah,
but then they changed it.
No, delete, backup.
But I feel like once it's out, like, you can't change it, George Lucas. But anyway.
That's shame.
Anyway. Oh, what was this? I'm not even going to go into
that. Don't open that can of worms.
I'm not open.
Me no dirty.
Stop.
But anyways, let's talk about terrible examples of
you
what
you guys
we were
watched
about.
One recently that I didn't see yet.
Well, we want to start with Ghost Rider or the Phantom.
It's not the Phantom. I'm interested.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, let's do the Phantom first because that one's fresher and I still have a little bit more process.
I'll just say
Ghost
I've
Rider.
Never read either comic, so mm-hmm. I really can't compare.
Same here.
But the movies themselves are just bad.
Ghost Rider. I went down one of the Wikipedia rabbit holes for him.
I watched. So I read the new Ghost Rider, not Johnny Cage Ghost Rider.
Johnny Cage?
There's like different ghosts. Not Johnny Cage.
Blaze?
Yeah, not Johnny Blaze. Yeah, there's like two
Nicholas
different ghosts.
Nicholas Blaze?
Here three or four. There's a
lot. There's a couple of them. Ghost Rider is more of a, like just in the comic books, Ghost Rider is more of a entity than it is just a singular like person.
You become one.
Yeah.
Just like the Phantom.
The Phantom.
Oh my gosh. Let me paint you a picture.
Okay, let's start this.
Can I paint you a picture
real
quick?
Go ahead, I'm interested.
All right.
I'll be the audience here because I've never seen this movie.
So, From Black, I can't remember. I think it gave you a year.
Yeah.
Opens up, pirate ship, on fire.
Okay, you got me invested.
Even if you didn't know they were on a ship, even if you didn't know it was on fire, you would know these guys are pirates. They are swashbucklers and peg leggers. Like, they're stereotypical pirates. Ooh. I'm like, okay, you didn't have to dress them up. I understand. They're pirates. But anyways, pirates fighting on a pirate ship on fire. Little boy jumps off. He's saved. He gets off on it's a moonlit night on a beach, and he gets saved by this tribe. Mm-hmm. Very obviously, like, a foreign, like, island tribe. Very stereotypical.
Indigenous, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And then he gets swept off in the night. This little white kid, and surrounded by these brown tribesmen, gets taken off. Then it cuts. Driving on a truck. Basically Indiana Jones. The guy from...
Straight into the Temple of Doom.
Straight into the temple.
There's
this guy's
three
driving
skulls.
A cup. You can tell that they're some sort of adventurers. They're like, all right, we need to find this skull. They have a little kid who's an indigenous to the
basically
area as well.
Basically Short Round.
Yeah, exactly. The Short Round.
Basically Short Round.
Has some funny little antics, blah, blah, blah. Goes into this cave, finds this skull. I'm like, okay. I don't know what's going on, but all right.
The dude gets choked out by a skeleton.
Oh, yeah. And then the guy dies.
The man gets choked out by a skeleton.
And he just stares at the guy and is like, okay, I guess he's dead.
A very cheap strangle.
Mind you, the guys believe him. Like, hey, what happened to him? Got choked out by this dead skeleton.
Got choked out by that skeleton.
Let's go.
Okay.
Better get out of here.
Seems believable.
And then the best reveal ever.
They get out of the cave. What's that? Dude. In a purple suit, riding a
purple skin-tight suit.
Skin-tight purple suit on a white steed being followed by a wolf. And then he comes in with guns blazing.
1911s on his
hips.
Two
guns just shooting at these guys on a horse who's in a truck. And I'm like, okay, I guess he doesn't have any superpowers.
He's just packing heat.
He's just in a purple suit with no
superpowers. A really good shot packing heat.
How fast is this horse?
Okay, look, here's the thing. He's not even that good of a shot. He just shoots.
He misses.
Sparks on the tree.
Yeah, I don't see.
Sparks on the tree.
Yeah, there were sparks. Okay, look. Whatever this movie's called, I completely forgot the name of it because I'm so like
Purple Man.
Yeah, the Purple Man.
The horse is actually really slow because the two of the thieves outrun the horse,
by a long mile.
Outrun. And the most useless wolf dog ever.
Ever. Period.
He's like, watch this guy, and if he moves, eat him.
He's there literally for intimidation factor.
Initially.
He's like, okay, my wolf's just really, really nice. He's just gonna like intimidate them down. They're going to stay on the ground. They're not going to want to move. Oh, they're getting up and they're following me. And the wolf's just sitting there.
Billy Zane from circa Titanic is the Phantom, by the way. So he is this. Imagine Billy Zane's face on the Phantom's body. Skin tight purple. And I'm sorry.
It's all you can see is the face. There's just an outline face and everything else head to toe purple.
What's his name? Kit something?
Kit Walker.
Kit Walker.
Yeah. It's so bad.
It's
like,
really bad.
It's like it.
The names in this movie, too. Kit Walker, Xander Drax.
He does have two guns. I don't.
Two guns.
Two 1911s.
He's just packing decent heat.
I'm sorry if I'm making.
Okay, but what's important is you guys omitted the fact that he has a belt buckle with the skull in it.
Oh, the skull comes in. Yeah. Don't worry, the skull comes
That's
in.
That's actually a big part of the movie,
it
too.
It really is.
Yeah. Like,
they make a big deal out of that dumb buckle.
So, like,
the dumb buckle.
That guy's wearing another buckle identical to mine. Is
yeah,
my
it
father's
looks like a
buckle?
Really bad circus performer.
It's so bad.
Like, I don't understand. Like, it just clashes. Everything clashes.
Like you know about, like, the Phantom through, like, myth of what some of these people talk about, but it's never explained, like,
and he's still
where
just a dude, right? Unflinching to bullets.
That's
his getting
actual
shot
stupid
at most of this movie. Not batting an eye.
He's taking that Porta John Winchester directing or acting lessons when he was in that movie, and he walks in and
the
then
locust.
There's a bunch of locusts.
So there's gonna be a few locusts in the room.
Just swats them away, like instead of freaking out, like getting pelted. Oh,
you're getting shot at, Billy Zane. I know, but I'm the Phantom.
Or they just cut out his reactions to it.
And there's like parts of this movie that don't make any sense, like in the museum when they have the two skulls. There's three skulls. A surprise fourth skull will make an appearance sometime soon. But there's three skulls that are told about myth, all right? They get two of them. The two skulls are supposed to point to the third one.
Yeah, two will lead to the third.
Yeah.
Oh, great
so
premise.
The Phantom, Kit whatever. What's his name?
Walker.
Yeah, Kit Walker walks up, shatters this glass in front of, like, 80 people and just walks up and takes the skull, and then the villain comes up, takes the skull from him at gunpoint.
Well, apparently the dude runs the museum, I think.
Oh, the Kit Walker.
Okay.
Or the
so
Drax.
I think so. But if he does, he's dumb because he had the thing on display the whole time.
Exactly.
In his own museum.
Exactly. So he takes it at gunpoint, mind you, in front of 80 people. They take it, put it in an indiscreet leather bag, and he goes, yep, it's all fine, guys. It's all fine. We're security. There's cake and sandwiches in the next room. Go enjoy yourselves. Take the little ones.
Everyone
Bye.
Clears out without a beat.
Without, like, without
oh,
a
free, you say.
Yeah, nobody in
continues
this movie
to look at art. Nobody continues to look at the scene that's happening. This dude's at gunpoint with six mobsters,
right,
not even police.
Clearly mobsters.
They're just in three-piece suits.
And then the worst thing is they put the skulls together. And it points to a map that is on the wall.
Not even a full map.
How would they identify where this location was if the map wasn't in the room?
Exactly. The map was 140
it would
feet
take
away.
You to a room.
Maybe, dude. He was floating around with the skull at the end of the movie.
This is the point. This is the part that broke me in this movie. Is that map is 130 feet away? It makes essentially a dot the size of a dime on this mat.
The devil's vortex.
Exactly. The whole time this is happening, There's a storm inside the building, lightning, glasses shattering everywhere.
Those people are eating that cake,
Everybody
though.
That cleared out of there is in the next room, and not a single person walks into this room. Not one person hears the sound of shattering glass and lightning and goes, what's going on in here?
They have their cake blinders on. They're focusing on
cake. I guess.
Dude.
Oh, my
goodness.
I guess. At that point, I was like, I can't anymore.
Well,
I can't with this movie.
I didn't mean for that last part to be strictly Phantom, but we had to talk about the Phantom.
Chokes out two dudes with his legs at the same time.
Oh my God. I'm convinced that was just show off Billy Zane booty. Like, I'm convinced.
Oh, definitely. It was all Billy Zane booty. And all the women were pretty clothed, other than like one scene where they didn't. They had barely. It was a shower, and they were still completely clothed. But, but Billy Zane, he was a sex symbol.
He was.
Like, right. He was just buffing.
That one
around.
Was for the ladies.
The Phantom
was for the ladies.
You should check out the Phantom.
No, it doesn't. Like, it doesn't sound good at all.
It's kind of.
I got
really
other
bad.
Movies to watch.
The Phantom is
the whole
definitely
cast
for
of Mortal Kombat, basically. Is in it.
Oh yeah. Your sword is mine.
Wait, what did he say?
Oh, and then he did the same point, and then the face. That won't work here.
The guy with the
and
cannonball.
He said it so mush mouthy too. I couldn't understand what he was saying.
Oh, the rubber cannon.
Oh, the rubber.
He did a flip.
Yeah, he does a flip over the cannon, and it just goes.
Xander Drax's right hand man that gets point blank fired on by that cannon in the face.
Oh yeah, and he goes yeet.
He gets yeeted. He gets launched so far away.
Oh, my gosh. So, anyways, that was our podcast of how bad the Phantom was.
Oh, let's just make it a two-hour podcast. Let's just let it go.
But, yeah, there are some good movies, some great comic book and live-action adaptions.
Yeah.
But there's also some bad ones.
Dragon Ball,
Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, yeah. Dragon Ball is so bad. No, Phantom. Ghost in the Shell was good.
I haven't seen Ghost in the Shell.
I like Ghost in the
Shell. Well, more so like negative.
That was good.
Reviews, yeah.
Kida Battle Angel was pretty good.
I'm going off of what people have generally said.
I could have gone for more of Ghost in the Shell, but it wasn't a bad.
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat is comedically bad.
The second
that is
Silent Hill movie.
Yes, I did tell Heather that.
Resident Evil movies.
Other than the first Resident Evil movie, which isn't saying much either. But
right, that one wasn't.
But real quick, just to round it out, what are your guys' names? I was going to go somewhere, but...
I'm Derek.
Derek.
I'm Kit Walker.
I don't have a
You're
name.
You're Scuba Skeeve.
Scuba Steve!
Oh my!
We can't. I can't say you're Scuba Steve. Otherwise, what I almost call him Adam West. What's his actual? Adam Sandler will copyright us.
Ah, and he needs money. Actually, no.
He's swimming in it right now.
Yeah, he just
got
the
uncut gems.
I really got to see that movie.
Yeah. I heard that one's good.
So. Right. I feel like we'll definitely come back to we're definitely going to come back to comic book movies. As long as they're relevant.
Oh, yeah, I have a lot.
Because we're region early.
I have a lot to say about Suicide Squad, and that fury needs to be unleashed.
Right. But also, I got
to
see that.
We all have to form our own opinions.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Maybe when these two have seen it finally, we can actually have a proper episode about it.
I like it. Right. I like it. But anyways, I'm Jose, your host/co-host with the most host. And you've been watching/listening to Region Nerd Alert. To my left is Mike.
Thick Boy, 363 Eyes.
And Singularity Photography.
Yeah, that too. Follow
and
that.
To his left is Skylar.
I am Skylar Olatho on SoundCloud, Instagram, Facebook.
Doing the music you're hearing right now. And Miss
Heather Delihams on both Twitter and Instagram.
All right, thank you. And thank you for tuning in today. Catch us at C2E2. And if you're listening before Saturday, catch us at Northwest Indiana Comic Con. I'm Jose. Thanks for nerding out. And you've been listening to Read Your Nerd Alert.